However, one thing, living in dangerous times, and I was thinking earlier on this week, because I was reading, listening to some of the economic conditions which are taking place in Germany, and it brought to mind a prophecy given by David Wilkerson in what was known as the Vision. And in the Vision he said, and a lot of things that David Wilkerson prophesied at that time, the state and condition of the church, the LGBTQ, and all these things, they've all come to pass. But in his vision he says, I saw the economic collapse of Germany. And it went from Germany and it hit Japan. And then it hit the United States. If anybody knows anything about economics, you know that all these countries are strangling themselves with debt that they can never repay. They're not in a good position. And the Bible also tells us, when you've got God's blessing, you're not the one under debt. God makes you the head, not the tail. And so we can see that we're in these times, lots of things going on. And we just keep looking to see, and so that we're not ignorant of what takes place. So we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And I want to bring to your text today, and to speak about it. And it's found in Deuteronomy 8:18. And it says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. God wants to give his people power. The Bible says these things shall follow after them that believe. If you don't have any power, then nothing's following you. And so here in the scripture it's saying, God gives power for you to get wealth, but it's for a purpose. It is to establish his covenant. Now, a definition which might be good for us to be aware of is enough of God's provision to accomplish a divine assignment. If you think about Moses who's up in the mountain, the Bible says about Moses, he knew the ways of God. The people knew the acts. That meant that because he knew the ways of God, he could get what he needed when he needed it. He was in that place where he had power of God. So today, I'm going to look at the story, start off anyway with the story of Melchizedek and Abraham. And you find it in Genesis chapter 14. And if you look from verses 18 to 20, it tells us that Melchizedek, he was king of Salem, he brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God. And he blessed Abraham, and he said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. The Most High is the possessor of heaven and earth, and he blessed the Most High, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And it says that Abraham gave Melchizedek tithes. Abraham acknowledged that God had delivered his enemies into his hand, and he sealed it by giving tithes to Melchizedek, the priest of Most High God. Melchizedek was a great man. He knew the living God. He's walking in his calling. And as he's walking in his calling, he is recognized by Abraham for who he is and who he represented and the God that he served. And so Abraham gets on the tenth, and we know that Abraham was blessed because of that. So Melchizedek is not a name, but it's a title. He's both a priest and he is a king. And so that's why we read when we come to the book of Hebrews 5:6, thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Some things to note is the priest of the Most High God. is a Gentile priesthood. He's a Gentile priesthood. He's a priest of the Most High God. And the designation of the Most High God is a gentle term which we find in the book of Daniel. And it's associated with the times of the Gentiles. And the Jewish people, they trace their heritage to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob is the name changed to Israel. So therefore, it is a gentle priesthood who blesses the Levitical priesthood. And Abraham gives his man tithe, and it's the first mention in Scripture. And of course, in Scripture, there's once you get the first mention, it sets the stage for the rest of Scripture for him. But it also goes on and says in Hebrews 7:7, and without all contradiction, the less, which is Abraham, is blessed by the greater. Without all contradiction, the Levitical priesthood is blessed by the Melchizedek priesthood. It's a greater priesthood. Because Levi was in the loins of Abraham when he got the blessing. Now think of this. He gets a blessing. Levi gets a blessing because he's in the loins of Abraham. But Levi is not born for generations after that. He's not born for a number of generations. But the blessing went through straight to him. And so, notice the name, the Most High God. Who is the Most High God? Well, you go to Psalm 83:18, it says, that men may know that thou, whose name is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. So Melchizedek is serving Jehovah, the Most High God. And Jesus Christ, he comes in the order of Melchizedek. In Hebrews 5 and 6, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. So what happens in the River Jordan? John the Baptist is baptizing people, but the day comes when the Lord Jesus Christ turns up. And so in the River of Jordan, what is Paul saying? John saying, he's saying, he must increase, I must decrease. So what we have in the River of Jordan, unseen to the human eye, is two priesthoods come together, and one priesthood submits to the other priesthood. It says, you must increase, I must decrease. You are of the Melchizedek priesthood, I am of the Levitical priesthood. I am a priesthood that's subordinate to you. And so these things took place at the River Jordan. So what was the importance that is in the giving of tithes? Well, the giving of tithes goes against the world system. In 1 Timothy 6:10 it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Money itself is not evil, but the love of it. And if you know anything about history, you know anything about different families in the world, the love of money makes lots of decisions which are quite corrupt. And so the love of money, and so it goes on to say, which when people come after, they err from the faith. Go away from the faith, and they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. So effectively, you can take this, and you can look at a person and say, all right, so you've been away, this is what you've done with money, this is what's happened to you, and then you've got all these sorrows. Just what the scripture says, it gives you an analysis. So we're not talking about money, and here he's talking about the love of money. Now, the thing about it is, the children of Israel were in Egypt. But when they were brought out of Egypt, they couldn't get Egypt out of the people. So when people are in poverty, you can bring them out and give them as much money, but you can't take poverty out of them. And that tells me it is not an economic issue. We're dealing with a spiritual issue. We're dealing with something that has to be broken in a person for a person to be set free. You can throw as much money to a situation as you want. It will not change the hearts of the people. Many people have won lots of money and lost it and have squandered it all and they're back to their poverty. So we come to this, the tithes. And in Scripture, The tithes have got two meanings. One is, it's a tenth. But the other meaning is, it's a teacher. And our text says, you need to get power. You need power. You need God to give you power to get wealth for His covenant, for the Lord. And so you're talking about power to get wealth to establish God's covenant. So this must involve a process before God will entrust you with power to get wealth. He's not going to entrust anybody. He's not going to say, I'll pick you. No, no. There has to be a process to take place in your life if you're going to come to a place where you're going to have power with God.
Amen.
And this process is to find out if you are faithful and a trusted steward of the things that God is going to give you. As a tithe also means teacher, so what does it teach? Deuteronomy 14:23. Thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of the corn, the wine, the oil, first things of your hair, the flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord. So the first thing here we're talking about, why do you give tithes? That you might learn to fear the Lord. And this is important, because Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath shall abide satisfied, he shall not be visited with evil. So the fear of God is something that has to be grasped and has to be sought after. And the Bible here is telling us one of the ways is through tithing, that you may learn to fear the Lord. And he's given a secret on how to avoid evil. He gives you two options. You can be in a place and an environment where you're always having problems, and you're always having difficulties, and there's always conflict. Or you can be in a place where evil can't touch you, or where you are above it. And I remember one time I read a book, and the author was talking about being above the tree line. He said, once you get above the tree line, you get away from the snakes. Once you get above the tree line, you're going into the heights. That's not their environment. And the Bible tells us we want to be in the high places with God. Mm-hmm. Into the place where, because when you're in the presence of God and in these places, you have got the protection of the presence of God. And the Bible goes on to say, that place is wisdom. Mm-hmm. And wisdom requires that you must have the fear of the Lord. And notice what happens, there is life. The Lord tender to life. You're going to be satisfied and no visitation of evil. And so it's important to have this mentality and the way that we think, because it's a condition that understands fear. And we ask why? Because fear is the environment that attracts the attention of God. Fear is the environment where we attract the attention of God. God looks for them who fear Him. God shows His covenant to them that fear Him. God will reveal His secrets to them that fear Him. But the other side of the coin is the lack of fear. The lack of fear causes people to lose commitment. A lack of fear causes people to be casual. It can be about the Lord's ministry, it can be about church, it can be about giving, it can be anything to do with a life associated with the kingdom of God. But being casual is a lack of fear. A lack of fear causes people to rebel against God's authority. The lack of fear causes people not to take instruction. And so we get this, there is a fear of God, tends to life. But then we have the lack of fear and the destruction and the chaos that brings into our life. And where there is a lack of fear, there is a lack of wisdom. And where there's a lack of wisdom, you're going to become susceptible to evil. And so, the Bible here is telling us, tithe enables you, it is a method to learn the fear of God. That they may have learned to fear the Lord always. King David said in Psalm 119:8, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. This is David. I am devoted to your fear. I'm not, think of Herod. Herod feared the people. Herod feared just about everything under the sun, but he said he never feared God. King David said, I'm devoted to the fear of God. Mm-hmm. And so that is a great example for us to be devoted to the fear of God. But the tithe also teaches you something else. In Proverbs 3:9 it says, honour the Lord with thy substance, with the firstfruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. So here we've got a process. We want to come before the Lord with a spirit of excellence. We want to come before the Lord and we want to honour him and then our giving. But here's a process, and it's like, good, when we go back to Abraham, Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, and after that was done, then Abraham said, but what are you going to do for me? And he got the blessing, and so God gave him the blessing, he got the son, and he also got the blessing of Levi and his loins. So, it is not strange to say, I've given tithes, what are you going to do for me? But here in this passage of scripture, it teaches us something else. Because we want to have a spirit of excellence, we want to honour the Lord, and we don't want to come before the Lord casually or haphazardly, but we want to come with excellence. And excellence means that you're going to put effort into how you present yourself, how you present your offerings, how you lay things. It's all to do because you're recognising the God that I serve, he deserves nothing less than excellence. And I am coming to honour him. And that the Lord is a great king, and all that the best is good enough for him. And so you come with his spirit of excellence, and that means that we don't come empty-handed, but we come with honour to lift up the Lord. Amen. But the scripture here goes on to say, we honour the Lord and to expect benefits, but instead correction comes. And it says, you must realise God wants to bless you.
Amen.
He wants to bless that which is right. So if you're coming and you're doing something and it's not right, God is going to, he's going to bring correction because he wants you to do it right.
Amen.
The love that God has for us and the covenant that he has given, he is looking for us to respond with the same love and same commitment to that covenant. Because he is our God and we are his people. And so we come to that place where we come to honour. And of course, we start off with a place where people might not just be in that place and they have this question, what is more important? What you give or how you give it? Start on the basics. What's more important? What you give or how you give it? And end of the day, it's going to be both, but you've got to start somewhere. So, the tithe is a teacher and that you might learn to fear the Lord. But it's also telling you that it teaches you to honour God. But it also goes on to teach you to worship. In Deuteronomy 26, it says, and now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land. And one of the things which you learn from Scripture, it is always the first fruits that God blesses. And if he's going to bless, He's not going to bless things, he's going to bless you. He's going to bless you, increase in wisdom, increase in knowledge, increase the presence of God in your life. God blesses people, he doesn't bless things. But now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt send it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. And so God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And so we set things before the Lord, we set these things before him, and we worship him. We come and not only say all in his name, but we come and worship to give him his rightful place. And when we worship, what are we doing? We are lifting our God up. We're exalting him. We're setting him on high. And as Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men to myself. So we come to lift up the Lord. And so our approach is of the creature to the Creator, of the redeemed to the Redeemer, of the sinful person into the holy presence of God. The hosts of heaven surround the throne of God with songs. They sing a new song. Thou art worthy. You were slain and you have redeemed us to God. And we sing the choruses ourselves, worthy is the Lamb. So we come to worship. We come to honour and exalt. And we are joined in the host of heaven. Because in the host of heaven, round the throne, they're crying constantly, holy, holy, holy are you. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is and evermore shall be. Holy, holy, holy. And so we join with the heavenly choir to worship. And the Bible's telling us, the tithe teaches us to worship. Teaches us how to fear, how to honour. It teaches us how to worship. But it's also a weapon that people don't always use correctly. And one of the passages of scripture that you will hear many times is Malachi 3:8. Well, a man robbed God, yet you have robbed me. Wherein have you robbed me in tithes and offerings? So you've got to understand that we are steward of what God has given us. God is the source. God is the one who provides. God is the owner of all things. The earth belongs to the Lord and everything. Therefore, he gives us the 90%. Therefore, the tithe has the ability to destroy robbers and thieves.
Amen.
Because in Malachi 3:11 says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. So it is possible for you to be your own worst enemy. Many times we think, well, that's the devil or that's sin, that's that. But at times it can be your own worst enemy. Instead of using the power of the tithe to that which opposes you, you use it and it works against you. Now, to understand how this works, you need to know what the scripture says. Leviticus 27:28. Notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. Devoted means that which you set aside and dedicate to God. That which is set aside and dedicated to God is holy. So it's got to be used for your benefit, against your enemies, and not used against you. Leviticus 27:7 says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's holy unto the Lord. So when we come to the text, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it's he that giveth thee power to get wealth and establish his covenant upon thee. So we're in this place where we're in the environment of the world, where economic system is run by the God of this world, and unless we start to learn how to come into alignment with God's system, then we're always going to be struggling in this world. Even round about here in Livingston, there's a part of churches just like myself, we know a number of churches that just cannot get land, cannot get building. And so we've got to think, look, what is the problem? And so we can remain where we are, or we can come to this place. How do we get power? How do you get power to get what you need, when you need it, so you can see God's covenant displayed in the earth? And that's what it's all about. And there might be other things which have to be done, but here, the tithe teaches us four things. We need the fear of God.
Amen.
Because the fear of God brings wisdom. And if we have a life of the fear of God, then everything is going to be substandard. And we just plod on day by day. Then we have to know, it's not just having the fear of God, but we have to come to honour God. So there's got to be a presentation and an excellence in our spirit that when we come to give, because giving can be service in the kingdom. It's not all about just finance. It is your life in serving God, and anything that God calls you to, it is a life of excellence. Whatever God gifting and calls us, we want to do it to the best of our ability. We want to do it with excellence because we want to honour the Lord.
Amen.
We want to see His name uplifted and glorified. We want to be those who know how to worship.
Amen.
Because that attracts the attention of God. The worshippers. God looks for worshippers. He looks for them who believe Him, trust Him, will come and worship Him. And then He's telling us, there are things which are holy. Use it correctly, it will work for you against your enemy. Don't use it correctly, you might find it's going to be a stumbling block to you.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to start to look at all these things, because what are we after? We want to be a people of power.
Amen.
It's just as I said earlier in the beginning, these things shall follow after them that believe. Well, they're not going to follow after if you don't have the power. If you don't have the anointing, you don't have the power of God in your life, these things are not going to follow after you. They might follow after somebody else.
Mm.
We've got to come to that place to know, in order to achieve objectives, there are processes that we have to go through. And God is at work in our lives to bring us through these processes as we open ourselves up to be led by the Spirit of God. And He wants to bring us into that place because He wants you to be free from what's happening in this world. If all the economy's collapsed, who's going to be the source of job? If all the economy's collapsed, how are you going to survive? God is saying, I am going to be your source.
Amen.
I'm going to be your one who's going to provide. I am the one in the midst of everything. Just like Elijah, remember going up to the woman with a cruise of oil, the wee baby, and never ran dry. So in the midst of what may be happening in the world, we want to be the people of God who want to bring our lives into alignment with the things of God so that we can be the provision when others can't provide.
Mm.
That we can be the source when others are not the source. Because, like Moses, he knew the ways of God. And he could get answers to prayer that other people couldn't. And so God wants to bring us to a place where each one of you have power, so that as you pray and intercede, you have power and authority of God to see things happening.
Amen.
And it's all for His kingdom.
Amen.
To see His covenant established in the earth. And so, Father, as we come today, we thank You, Father, for Your word. We thank You for Your instructions. We thank You, Father, that Your word is powerful.
Amen.
And that we as Your people who want to see Jesus glorified, Jesus honored. We want to be worshipped.